join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith Friends by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Let's move on here, because this next point, I think, is the final one regarding Faith Friends. Now, number seven, we said a faith friend gives you words of encouragement. But the eighth characteristic of faith friend is that a faith friend tells you the truth. I want you to understand that those are not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean because I'm encouraging you, I can't tell you the truth.
Oh, wow.
Or because I'm telling you the truth, I'm causing you to be discouraged, okay? Because faith friends many times have to take, now you mentioned something earlier, okay? You have someone who's a faith friend, but all you're talking is doubt, fear, and unbelief.
Right, right.
Your faith friend needs to say, girl, listen, what you're talking right now is not faith.
That's so good.
That's telling you the truth.
Right.
Right now, okay, Job told his wife, he said, you speak like a foolish woman.
He was telling her the truth.
Telling her the truth. And sometimes we only want friends. Oh, this is so good. And I'm getting to this. We want friends and pastors who will be our cheerleaders.
You are awesome. You're so smart. You do nothing wrong. That's okay. That's all right.
And you need somebody who maybe sometime who's too truthful enough to be a coach and say, come on now, you got to bend your knees if you're going to get that free throw. Or you need to sit down right now, come out the game.
That's good.
Okay. You come over here and get some great Gatorade. It don't mean you're going to be down forever. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you the truth. And a faith friend will tell you the truth. Look at Galatians 2, 9 through 11. Now, it says, this is Paul talking about this encounter here. When James, that's one of the pillars of the church, Cephas, who were a pillar of the church, John, who were pillars of the church, who Paul didn't know all that well, because he wasn't around one of the apostles with Jesus. He said, who seemed to be pillars. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I didn't really know them like that. But he said, they seem to be pillars. When they perceived or saw the grace or the anointing that was on me, what God called me to do, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Some of y'all don't know, my good Baptist brothers and sisters, we give these other right hand of fellowship. We don't even know where that comes from. That's where it comes from right there. It comes Galatians 2 and verse 9. They gave them the right hands of fellowship. It really means here that they embraced him, but it also means that they gave them their blessing to go forward. So they gave them right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen or the non-Jews, and they would go to the circumcision. They released us to go do ministry to the non-Jews, and they would continue to minister just to the Jews. Keep going here. I'm in verse Galatians 2 and 10. Only they would, or they desired, that we should remember the poor the same which we were forward to do or going to do anyway. He said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And the context here is that it goes on to say that they knew that God saved Gentiles and non-Jews, and they fellowship with them. He said, but Peter, when the other people came, the Jewish people came from Jerusalem, he said, okay, I can't let them see me fellowshipping with the Jews. With the non-Jews. Mm-hmm. And he started acting prejudice. He started discriminating. And Paul said, I confronted him to his face. I dealt with him about, you're supposed to be a Christian, but you're acting like a racist right now. You're supposed to be a Christian, but you're discriminating. And you knew that God told you he's no respecter of persons. So I can be your friend and still tell you when you're wrong.
Right.
Okay? They said, we had the right friend. They gave us the right hand of fellowship. We're boys. We're friends now. We're in fellowship together. But because we're in fellowship together, sometimes when you're wrong, you need to hear the truth. That doesn't make us your enemy. As a matter of fact, Paul says that. Paul asked that question later on in Galatians 4 and 16. Galatians 4 and 16, Paul asked the church at Galatia, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So sometimes we think a friend only tells you what you want to hear. Sometimes we expect a friend to lie to us. Girl, that weave look good. No, that weave don't look good on you. That look like a $1.50 weave kit. No. You wearing all that red around your eyes. That don't look good. A real friend will tell you the truth. Girl, you look good. I don't care what you wear. You look good. And they got you looking like Bozo the Clown.
Yeah. That's not really a friend.
That's not a friend. Because you said that one time. You said everybody needs a friend, a mirror, or a friend.
Or a friend.
Because a mirror will tell you the truth, too.
Sure will.
But people, they won't listen to that mirror sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the mirror doesn't, like, it's dim lit.
They think the mirror lying.
Dim light.
They think the mirror lying. Okay. Or here's the other thing. The mirror doesn't always show you your back. And you need a friend to show you your back.
That's the truth.
Okay, here we go. The mirror don't see your blind side.
Yeah.
A friend sees your blind side. That's the parts of you that you don't see, but a friend may see. Mm-hmm. You know, every time you get around them, you know, you get angry. Every time, you know, this happens, you start raising your voice. Every time this starts, you get a bad attitude. Sometimes you need a friend to help you see yourself. So Paul asked the question, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, when I was your cheerleader, we were friends. But now that I start speaking truth to you that you don't want to hear, you're making me your enemy. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, he says, Ephesians 4, I believe, speak the truth in love. So, yeah, we speak truth, but we still must speak love.
Right.
And some people, and those are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
That I can love you and speak the truth, and I can speak the truth and still love you.
Right.
So those are not mutually exclusive. They need to go together, speak the truth in love. Heard someone say this one time, love without truth is insincere. Mm-hmm. And truth without love is just mean. Let me say that again. Love without truth is insincere. But truth without love is mean. I'm just telling you the truth. You ugly. No, that's just mean. That's just mean. And so we want to speak the truth in love. But the point I'm making here is that a real faith friend will speak the truth to you and help you, correct you so you can stay on the path that God wants you to be on. Correct you when you're talking more doubt than faith. Tell you, now come on, that's not how you need to respond to this situation. No, that's not how you should be treating your husband. No, that's not how you should be responding in this situation. So let me make this more personal to you. Your pastor or pastors, your spiritual father, your bishop is not your enemy because he tells you the truth. Many times he's just being a good faith friend. Because sometimes we need to tell you things that you need to know before you run off the road and have an accident. Okay?
Right.
Let me see. I've been telling this little joke for years here. Everybody don't get it. But I think our audience, our streaming audience today, they're going to get it.
Okay.
Okay? And you're going to get it too.
Okay.
Okay? So, the man is riding. He take on a Sunday afternoon. He's in his sports convertible, and he's riding through country roads, and he's going around the road. As he's going around the corner, somebody else is passing by, going the opposite direction, and they're riding in their car, and they got the window down, and as he's passing them, they yelled to him, "Pig!" And he thought they were talking about him. So before they got too far, he said, "Cow!" Turned back around, put a hammer on the wheel, and ran right into the pig. Do you get it?
I get it.
See, sometimes you think people talk about you, and they're just trying to help you. That's the point of that
That's
story.
The point of the story.
Okay? See, sometimes we got our feelings, on our shoulder. What our friend,
Pastor Mary.
Pastor Mary. C-Wright said, leave your feelings at a home.
In a safe place.
In a nice, safe place.
In a safe place.
Because sometimes we just want people to say things that's going to stroke us and always make us feel good. The man wasn't calling him a pig. He was trying to warn him about the pig that was on the road, that was in the road. And sometimes we have our feelings on our shoulders, and rather than receive the help and the edification that we need, we get offended. So let me say it again. Your pastor, your bishop, your spiritual leader, your ministry leader is not your enemy because they tell you the truth, especially if they're speaking the truth in love. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul tells Timothy as a young pastor, he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, let's stop right there. I heard a preacher say one time, he must not have read this. He said, my job is not to tell people what they're doing wrong. No, it's your job is not to only tell people what they're doing wrong. Mm. But a good leader, a good faith friend also let people know what they're doing wrong.
Right.
Let me show you that from the scripture. That same scripture from the Amplified. Amplified makes it longer, but it makes it clearer. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and 2, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency.
Wow.
Stand by, be at hand, and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word ought to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
Wow.
And convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning, and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. How many of y'all have left a church and now you went somewhere else, not because the pastor did anything wrong, didn't have any moral failures, not because anybody stole money, not because somebody treated you bad, but because you got corrected?
What?
And can I tell you, as long as you're running because you get corrected, you will never grow. You will never, whether that's at church or on your job. You know, we've had people come up and tell us, my supervisor said such and such to me. And supervisor's just trying to correct them.
Right.
To do the job the way it needs to be done or according to the standards of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible tells us in Hebrews the 12th chapter, he says, if we don't endure correction and take chastisement, even for, especially from a faith friend who's trying to help us keep us on track. The Bible said, you're really not sons. It said, you're bastards, or as we like a more modern translation, illegitimate children. Okay? And so, even in ministry, I want y'all to catch this. Your pastor, many times, is being a good friend to you. Your spiritual leader is being a good friend to you. Your ministry leader is being a friend to you. Your supervisor, manager might even just be being a friend to you by correcting you. Rather than help let you keep going down that same path knowing this is going to get you fired.
Yeah.
You know, in my early day, I went on to be promoted in insurance industry, and I grew, and I got good raises, and I got transferred from one company to another, one city to another, and that engine ended up bringing me here. But my early days, that when I had never worked at home before, some people going through this now. This is in the late 80s, and this claims that we could go in the office or we could work at home. Mm-hmm. We had to be in the office 2 days a week, and you pick the days. As long as you got your work done. Well, I said, oh, suck, work at home. It was only one problem in those early days. I was in my early 20s. I was supposed to be working at home, but I was at home. Mm-hmm. Don't you flip from this. If you're supposed to be working at home, you're not just supposed to be home. You're supposed to be working at home. So what happened, when my files got to be reviewed, back then we have paper files. We have our daughter-in-law works for an insurance agency doing the same thing I did. Now, I asked her the other day, I said, I noticed she has no paper. Mm-hmm. I said, do you have any paper? She said, no, everything's done on computers today. But we had files this big. Mm-hmm. Remember those big old files that they have? And every quarterly, your supervisor had to review your files to see how you were documenting and getting the information and all that. And so when my file got reviewed, it showed that I was just at home. That I wasn't working at home. And he brought me in, wrote me up, put me on performance development and all that. And told me, Herb, you got to get this together. Told me how to discipline my time. Because if you don't, he said, you have great potential, but we're going to have to let you go. Mm. They're going to let me go. And I had just came.
I just got here.
You going to let me go already? You know, and we knew what it was when I was let go.
Yeah.
It was that during that time we didn't have food and things were starting to look up. And I had to dig in. I could have got mad. He's just trying to ruin. I could have guessed, and he was white. He's a racist. Mm. No, it had nothing to do with being a racist. Mm. It would have to do with, in this case, I'm not saying racism don't exist, but in this situation, I couldn't blame racism. Mm-mm. I wasn't doing my job.
Right.
And so I had to dig in and get that stuff together so I could have I ended up being in that industry for 10 years. Ended up getting, I started then, I was making I made 21. They started everybody else at 18.5, but I had been out of college 2 years. And everybody else was straight out of college. I had been out of college 2 years, so I got 21,000. And the rest of them got 18.5. Mm-hmm. Come on, what are you talking about now? But by the time I left there, I was making close, and 10 years later, I'm making over $60,000, went from level to level, but I had to take correction.
Right, right.
And he's still a friend of mine to this day. Mm-hmm. I called him up, that same man, I called him up while the pandemic was going, in the beginning of this. I called him up and talked to him. We went through an insurance issue with our church a couple years ago. I called him then to get some counsel from him, how to deal with this claim we were dealing with. And so he ended up becoming a friend, even through correction.
Yeah.
Somebody is not your enemy. You can't leave and cut off relationships because somebody goes to correct you to help you be better. I don't know why I'm staying here, but this is to somebody. Somebody think about leaving somewhere now, leaving a job or leaving a church, or because someone has confronted you about what you need to change.
Right. And sometimes when you get corrected in church, people may say, well, they're trying to control me, mm-hmm. or I feel rejected, because the correction has to possibly do with your gift, your talent, your service in the house, and that ministry leader or that pastor has a right to say how they like things done, but because you're so connected to
your talent.
Right. You hit correction can feel like rejection.
And so even your talent and your ability, you have to submit that under leadership. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your talent, your ability, your gift. You take that gift and you submit that. Okay? We were talking about in 1 Chronicles, 4 or whatever, when we were talking about David and all the men that came to him. David couldn't do what those men could do.
Right, right.
You know, the sons of Issachar knew the seasons, the people who were ambidextrous with weapons. Okay, David couldn't do what they do. Mm-hmm. David's thing was a slingshot.
Right.
He didn't know anything about swords and all this other type of weaponry. He knew a slingshot. He couldn't do what they did. But the Bible said when they came to David, they submitted themselves and they could keep rank. Oh, that's a good one. They could keep rank. Can you keep rank even when you're corrected? Now, let me go back to something while we're staying here. You mentioned something about being corrected and taking that as rejection. Sometimes, don't get mad at me now. Sometimes that comes, that started in our childhood from lack of parenting or no parenting. And especially from people who didn't have fathers. If you didn't have a father who corrected you, anytime a man go to correct you, you look at it as rejection rather than correction. And sometimes we never had parenting. Somebody tells us no. Somebody who gave you boundaries. Because we're supposed to learn that first as children in our home.
Right.
We learn, the first authority we have should be our parents, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why God says in Hebrews 12, he said, we submitted to our earthly parents. How much more should we submit to the Father's spirits? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't receive these things spiritually because we never learned them naturally. And so you need to understand that your pastor is not your enemy. I'm going to say it again, because he tells you the truth. Many times he's just being a good faith friend. So, and we're told by God to correct. Okay. Now, come on. Nobody wants to be in a situation where, man, you never get any encouragement. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what that's like. One time we were somewhere one time, and I felt, do I ever do anything right? Good Lord. All I get is correction. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You should have done. Now, nobody wants, sometimes that's a critical spirit. But of course, that should be speak the truth in love. And we, when those of us who are in position of authority, we want to balance correction with encouragement and also thanks and appreciation and all that. But just because you get corrected, it's not time to flee. Then maybe they're just being a good faith friend. Let's end with this. Proverbs 27:6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Put that up, Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Mm. You don't want somebody flattering you with kisses who just deceitful. Mm. He said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, sometimes your friend hurts you.
Yeah.
It's not intentional,
right?
But to correct you, to help you, they're faithful wounds.
Right.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend versus the kisses of an enemy.
Right.
Who's really just trying to manipulate you,
mm-hmm.
or trying to blow smoke in your ear.
Right. I have a group of friends, ladies that I'm in relationship with. I call them my faith friends.
Uh-huh.
And we don't see each other all the time, but when we do see each other, it's like we roll up our sleeve, it's old holds bar, and we all jump in trying to, like,
no holds bar.
What did I say? Okay. And then we jump in anytime when there's a break, and I'm losing my train of thought because you distracted me. We jump in there to, like, update each other on our lives, but we're honest. We're honest. And that's one of the things I appreciate about them, because I know when I go to them about something, they're going to tell me the truth. You know, they're not, you know, I can expect.
Do they tell you how to treat me and treat me better? Treat me nice and all that. They tell you that kind of stuff.
He's trying to distract me again.
No, I'm just curious about your faith friend. What's the conversation you're going to
be having? He's distracting me again. And so, you know, so I realize that they're priceless.
Yeah.
You know, they're priceless. And it's not always comfortable, but I know every time I get with them, I'm going to leave better.
Amen. Let me read that script from two other translations and we're done. Proverbs 27:6. The New Living Translation says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Boy, let that one settle in. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You can't run just because somebody gives you the truth and it wounds you. Get healed because it came coming from a place to help you versus deceitful kisses of an enemy. And then the GW translation, every time we got a deacon GW.
Mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
But just GW means God's word translation. Proverbs 27:6, the GW translation. I'm not sure how many people have that. But it says this, wounds made by a friend are intended to help.
Yep.
But an enemy's kisses are too much to bear. Wounds made by a friend are intended to help. So a real faith friend will tell you the truth, even if it hurts And even if it wounds you, because they know that their intention is not to hurt you and the intention is not to wound you, is to help you get better and in some cases stay in faith, to stay in the will of God, to do things according to the word. Amen.
Amen.
So I pray that this series has blessed you. If you joined in late, let me go real quick. Give you the seven, the characteristics. What's the seven of them? I'm going to go right through them real quick. Number one, a faith friend brings you closer to Jesus versus taking you from Jesus. Number two, a faith friend prays for you and prays with you. Number three, a faith friend believes that your situation can turn around. Number four, faith friends won't allow you to give up. Number five, a faith friend will inconvenience themselves for you. Number six, a faith friend helps you fulfill God's vision for your life. Number seven, a faith friend gives you words of encouragement. And then we ended today with a faith friend tells you the truth, even when it seems to hurt. Amen. Let me pray for you today. Father, I pray for every viewer of this Bible study.
Yes, God.
I speak your blessings upon them. Thank you, God, that over this last month, these last 4 weeks, we have been able to analyze, evaluate those who are in our lives. Help us to have the courage to make the adjustments that we need to make to put people in the right categories. For those of us who have faith friends who encourage us and help us and bring us closer to you and pray for us and help us to stay in purpose and vision and who will even tell us the truth when it hurts, thank you for them. Thank you for those that you've connected us with to help us get to the next level and keep progressing in our faith, who believe with us that our hopeless situation will turn around. Thank you for them. But Father, some of us need some faith friends. Yeah, we have friends that we've known all our lives, and friends from high school and friends who we partied with and friends some of us got back in the day, you got high with, you did this and that. But God, in this season of our lives, we need some faith friends. People help us to stay in the word. People we can pray with.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who bring you closer to Jesus or take you farther away? We all need faith friends who will walk with us through life, the good times and bad. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey take time to explain what faith friends look like and why we need them in our lives. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rdci.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.